بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Alhamdulillah, we have the opportunity again to gather together to spend some time in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very special time in the day for us because anytime we gather together to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we gain tremendous benefits. One of them, as I mentioned over the past couple of days, is that these types of gatherings bring tremendous peace to the heart. In fact, we know from the Quran that it's with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the heart attains tranquility and peace. And so one blessing is just the opportunity to be able to reset our hearts and reset our focus. Another of the great benefits that's associated with this type of gathering is that when a group of people gather together to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there are angels that seek such gatherings and they present the gathering to Allah. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented the gathering, He swears that all of the people of the gathering will have attained His forgiveness. So again, just another opportunity for us to take a few minutes in our day and to be able to focus our hearts and our minds on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I've mentioned over the past couple of days, this gathering is traditionally held once a week, and we've been holding this now for, I think, close to 20 years. And this gathering, essentially the way it's composed and has been composed throughout that entire period of time. So again, we meet once a week. And during that gathering, we normally begin with a short talk. After the talk, we recite a series of adhkar or litanies. Just each one, there's about, these are recited silently. And there's, I think, close to 20. And we recite these, I simply recite the first line and then people repeat after me silently. And we move from line to line. And then finally, the third part of the gathering is that we spend a few minutes reflecting on the name of Allah in our hearts, which is called muraqabah. So these are the three components of the gathering. There are some changes, as you're aware. Instead of doing this weekly, we are offering this now every day until Ramadan ends. And I just thought it would be a good opportunity for us to spend a little bit of time focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, given the blessings associated with Ramadan, and given the fact that there's a lot of turmoil in people's hearts concerning the current circumstances that we find ourselves in. And so this would be a good way to bring peace and tranquility to our hearts. Given that, I didn't want to engage in a lengthy lecture. We have numerous lectures ongoing, and so I don't think I can really add anything by giving a lecture at this point. However, I did think it was worth spending some time reflecting on the individual words and meanings of the various litanies that we've been reciting at this gathering. So for example, if you have the screen available in front of you, or if you're simply on the phone, that's also fine. But the one of the lines that's repeatedly stated throughout the gathering is, I say the word salawat. Salawat just means to send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's a standard line that we use, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallam. This is the line that we use throughout the gathering. And essentially it just means, oh Allah, send your mercy and blessings and salah upon our guide Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and upon his family, and also send your blessings. and your peace. So that's the first line. That's the gathering begins with, and then this line is repeated this on every odd number, meaning so we recite this line, then we go to another one, then we come back to this line. So I've talked about salawat on the Prophet ﷺ already. The second line in our gathering is Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. And yesterday I spoke about this line, so I'm not going to cover that today. The third line, which is unique, let's say the third unique line is the following. And so we'll spend just a few moments reviewing this line because we haven't covered this one yet. Ya latif al-khud, ya khafi al-lutfi, one of hidden kindness, one of hidden generosity, adrikni bi lutfika al-khafi, take hold of me with your hidden hidden kindness. So this is a very interesting dhikr. Maybe we should begin by just speaking about the concept of lutf. Lutf refers to, remember that one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Latif. And when we say Al-Latif, what we're referring to, it's a very broad term. It's not so easy to translate, but it has some meanings that maybe will help make it more understandable to us. And the term Al-Latif refers to a generosity and a kindness that is exceedingly subtle. So subtle that it's almost imperceivable. So and that's essentially the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works, meaning there are so many blessings and so much kindness and so much generosity that comes our way that the vast majority of it is not obvious to us. It's very silent, it's very subtle, it's very hidden, and only by digging does a person come to appreciate that generosity and that kindness. Now, it's a deep generosity and it's a deep kindness because it's present layer in layer and layer and layer. And that's what makes it so special, because you have to think about this. Allah's generosity and kindness is completely encompassing us. And it's at the deepest depth of the ocean, and it's in the outer realms of the universe. So it's very, very massive and enormous and actually infinite. But the unique feature of this is that despite it being so pervasive and so all-encompassing and so surrounding of us, it's so subtle that you don't even appreciate that it's occurring. You know, for example, the universe is expanding, but you don't appreciate it, or we don't appreciate it. The earth is rotating, but we don't appreciate it. The sun's rays are coming, and there's all these numerous rays that are embedded in this in sunlight. Even when it's dark, there's rays that are arriving from the sun. We don't appreciate the delicate and detailed nature of it. However, when we open up our eyes to these subtleties, they become apparent to us, and their depth becomes apparent to us, but it also becomes apparent to us how little we understand of them. That's how subtle they are. So, for example, I mean, like I've given an example before, when a person, you know, there's all these subtle kindnesses and generosities that are present in the bottom of the sea, which allows the ecosystem to continue in its ways. And we take benefit from that. And it's so many centuries and thousands and thousands and thousands of years, you know, millions of years have passed, and no one was ever able to appreciate that until finally the scientists have now begun to understand some of these subtleties. And even when they examine these, number one, they appreciate their existence. Number two, they appreciate that no one ever even knew they were there, although they've always been present. And number three, it just appreciates the multitude of layers that are present in the various blessings that surround us. You know, for example, you look at the human being just looks like one piece. But then eventually you open up the human being, and then you realize that the human being is made of organs. And then eventually you open up the organs, and you realize that the organs are made of cells. And then you open up the cells, and then you realize that the cells are actually like mini little cities that have a mitochondria and a lysosome and DNA and et cetera. And you open up the DNA and you realize that it's made of base pairs, and you open up the base pairs and you realize that they're made up of molecules, and you open up the molecules and you realize that they're made of elements and bonds, and you open up the elements and you realize that they're made of electrons and protons and neutrons, and it's just completely mind-blowing. There's so much hidden generosity and kindness in every sphere and every dimension of our existence. And whatever way we look at it, you know, the hidden kindness and generosity for each of our cells to be exactly where they belong. And I'm harping on all these biological components, but you can take this in any dimension you want, in any dimension, that in any single moment, Allah's kindness envelops us in such a diffuse way, but it's so subtle. It doesn't slap you and say, here, I'm giving you this, and I'm giving you this, and I'm giving you this, and I'm giving you this. It just quietly exists, almost imperceivable. But if a person is able and sensible, they turn their attention, and that subtleness, it becomes apparent to them. Almost like, you know, and again, I don't want to give the example, but art, you know, people who are into art, they can look at a painting and they can look at the same painting for years on end, and they begin to appreciate layers and layers and layers of subtleness and strokes and colors and composition and the way that it was captured and how the human mind reflects that on a canvas. You know, it's, again, I don't want to use that example because you cannot compare that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I'm just trying to, you know, make it understandable for us. There is so much subtlety and beauty and kindness and generosity that's constantly coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not in one dimension, in every dimension, in our existence, in our biology, in our psychology, in our relationships, in the atmosphere around us, in our religion, in our deen, in our dunya, in our minds, in our neurons, and everything. There are all these layers of hidden kindness. And the beauty of this is that as a person begins to delve into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and begins to appreciate that everything comes from Allah, that Allah is the source, that there's nothing except Allah, those then become like a canvas that a person can stare at honestly until the day of judgment and not even begin to scratch the surface of all of this hidden kindness, of all of this hidden generosity. And so what this phrase is essentially, it's a dua. That's the way to put this. This is a dua. O one, ya khafi al-lutfi, O one of hidden kindness, of subtle kindness, of you know, and it's interesting, if you just said ya latif, you would already be implying that it was a hidden, subtle kindness that's not readily apparent. That would already be implied. But the way this statement is that it's bringing in this khafi, this additional layer of hidden upon hidden, you know, one of hidden subtleties. That's maybe the one to translate this. Oh, one of hidden subtleties, and those subtleties are comprised of kindness and comprised of generosity. Oh, one of hidden subtleties. Oh, one of hidden subtleties comprised of kindness and generosity. Adrikni bilutfik al-khafi. Take hold of me with your hidden, with your kindnesses that are hidden. It's such a hard thing to translate, but it's, you know, it's more, honestly, even the words can never capture this. This is something that's an experience. It's asking to be taken hold of by these hidden kindnesses, but also to be taken hold of in such a way that they become slowly comprehensible. Now, of course, our minds can never comprehend, our tongues can never state, our reason can never capture. It's beyond our ability. But just to gain a minimal appreciation, you know, it's like, I'll be honest, I know nothing about art, but if you put some sort of, like, you know, art piece in front of me that people would all agree is one of the most amazing pieces ever created by a human being, I wouldn't be able to tell you much except maybe a couple colors and I would barely be able to perceive what's actually going on there. I would need to study and understand and spend time in the company of artists and review other art, and slowly those subtleties would reveal themselves to me. But eventually they would come to some kind of end, because it's a human created thing. So in this way, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the entire universe is just a tapestry. And honestly, the universe is just one dimension. But the entire universe is just this canvas upon which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly expressing in this way. I cannot say it in words. Allah is constantly expressing His magnificence, His kindness, His generosity. And we can't even perceive it. It's there for us to explore. We're so heedless. We're so caught up in our own lives and in our own things that we don't necessarily even appreciate this hidden kindness, these subtleties. And once a person turns their attention to Allah and the whole universe disappears and they focus on Allah, then they begin to see, and it never ends. It never ends, you know, because every moment is different than the last. And every moment has infinite subtleties associated with it. I mean, subhanAllah, you could spend a moment and you try to capture those subtleties, but they just disappear because the next moment is totally unique. That's the magnificence of Allah. Every moment is just new. And, you know, not moment by moment, I mean millisecond, not even millisecond, nanosecond. Every comprehensible, every capturable moment is unique in its own way, and we have barely the ability to even scratch the surface of an infinitely deep ocean of greatness and grandeur, of mercy and kindness. So this dhikr, it's a dua in the end. Ya Latif al-Khutfi, Ya Khufi al-Lutfi, O one of hidden kindnesses, O one of hidden generosities, O one of subtle hidden kindness and generosity, Adrikni, capture me, take hold of me in a way that allows me to perceive and comprehend, bi lutfika al-khafi, with your kindness, with your subtle kindness and generosity that is hidden. Subhanallah. Honestly, this one phrase, we could recite this one phrase until the Day of Judgment, and we would never be able to even capture the hidden subtlety of the phrase itself. That's the nature of the dhikr of Allah. And even the dhikr itself cannot be captured, let alone the meanings behind what it's actually trying to bring us towards and the realities which it's trying to express. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Such a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us that we even can begin to comprehend these subtle kindnesses and generosity and magnificence and the unique nature of the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala binds together the universe out of His mercy. Really, it's just His mercy and His kindness and His generosity. What else is there that allows us to be able to express these types of words and to understand these types of words and to even have a slight peek? I mean, who are we? Who are we? Who are we? This is the creator of the universe, the one who created the entire universe. Who are we to even make an attempt to interact with this Allah? Who are we? Who are we to even claim to be able to even say His name? To be able to even make dua to Him? To take these various adhkar on our tongue? This is a gift upon us. We are not worthy of even one moment of the dhikr of Allah. Allah allows us, despite the fact that we are limited, to be able to engage Him. You know, I was just literally sitting down a little earlier today, and I was just thinking of something, and I just started thinking about, many of you are aware that we recently were given the opportunity to build the masjid, and I just started thinking that, like, we built this masjid, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises for the individual who builds the masjid that they will be granted a house in Jannah. And the hope is that everyone who participates, whether that's through dua or through donation or through, you know, physical effort, that all of them would have a piece of a house in Jannah. And I started thinking, like, why? Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even care? I mean, Allah created the whole universe. Every single thing in the universe was created by Allah. Do you know how expansive the universe is? I mean, a person who builds a masjid, it's not even like a grain of sand on a beach. It's not even like a grain of sand on a beach compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's universe. You know, I give you a better example. Let's say that you gave a kid like 3 pieces of Lego, okay? Three little pieces of Lego, and he or she puts the 3 pieces together and calls it a masjid. It's not a masjid, it's nothing. It's just 3 pieces of Lego. What are you talking about? But you know, like a loving mother or a loving father says to the child, "Mashallah, you made a masjid." But we know it's not a masjid. We know that it's not even anything near a masjid. But because the child has an intention and says the word masjid, these loving parents, they accept the masjid and they kind of say, "Subhanallah, you built a masjid. Mashallah, look how beautiful your masjid is." It's just 3 little pieces of Lego. It doesn't even look like anything. So now that's our example, right? Where we build real masajid and we compared to a Lego, we would say the Lego is nothing compared to the real masjid. But in the end, they still have some relationship. They were built by humans. They're limited, etc. What are we comparing the masajid that we build to the entire universe, which is owned and possessed and expanding by Allah, by Allah's treasure? How can we even begin to compare and comprehend? I'm telling you that our masajid that we build are not even like the Lego that a kid builds. Our masajids are not even equivalent to that Lego in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sense that what is it? We just put a bunch of mud together and called it a masjid. But what makes it special is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a kindness towards his creation, has a compassion towards the believer, has a desire to allow his kindness and generosity and his mercy to envelop them. And so he takes us and he takes our efforts, and out of some ajib kindness and mercy and generosity, he accepts them. And he accepts them, and then he provides us a reward for them. We can't comprehend. It's really nothing to be worthy of presenting to Allah. Like, what are we presenting? This tiny speck in the context of an entire expansive universe? What are we presenting to the one who controls Earth and all the planets and all the solar systems, and controls them without any fatigue, and controls them without any effort? All power is in his hands. All power is in his hands. And we presented a speck, and we just called it masjid. We just called it masjid out of our love for our Lord and our hope for his mercy. And subhanAllah, he accepts it. This is the one of hidden kindness. And that's an obvious kindness. There are so many layers of hidden kindness and hidden generosity that are always enveloping us. And we should never lose sight of those. We should never lose sight of those. We don't, you know, we have to appreciate them. And we want that our minds and hearts and ears and eyes and tongue are tuned into that bandwidth. That's what this dua is requesting. That, O one of hidden kindnesses, O one of subtle generosity, O one of hidden subtle generosity and kindness, capture us with this subtle kindness and generosity, and allow us to be captured in such a way that we comprehend that bandwidth and that we appreciate it. And I'm telling you, when a person, see, there's no way that words can ever explain these words. It's funny, words cannot explain words. It's almost the truth, right? How can words explain words? Because words themselves are trying to explain words. Obviously, it tells you right away that there's a limitation there. These are experiences. Wallahi, these are experiences. A person, through their journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through their saluk, through their effort, they are captured in these realities. They drown. You can only talk about the ocean so much. You have to dive into the ocean and then see what's there. Even though you know that you can never completely capture the ocean, you have to dive into the ocean and you have to see what's there. That's the reality of this statement. That's the reality of our existence. We are floating in an ocean of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. He is al-latif. We are constantly surrounded, and they are so subtle that none of them slap you on the face. Each one has to just be looked at slightly, and each one is like a beautiful canvas in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala layers mercy and kindness and generosity upon mercy and kindness and generosity, such that no one of them overtakes you, but every one of them creates a symphony that if you were to tune yourself into, you would be able to appreciate in the most subtle way. That's what this zikr is capturing. Subhanallah, and again, like I say, words can never capture words. It's an experience. When a person disappears from creation and indulges in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and makes Allah the only focus in their life and is completely entranced by Allah, they then begin to appreciate this amazing feature that everything around them is layered upon layered upon layered, infinitely layered in the mercy and the generosity of these hidden subtleties. That it's like peeling away. You know, a person peels away. Days and days and days and days pass and they don't appreciate a color. And then they see that color. And then they appreciate another color and another layer and another layer and another layer. So that honestly, from the day we're born until the day we die, and all of humanity, from the day they exist until the day they no longer are present, they can all begin to appreciate the subtlety, and it never ends. Think about it. If all 7-8 billion people on the planet today were to try to focus on Allah's mercy and Allah's lutf and his being latif and his generosity and his hidden greatness, his hidden kindness, all of them would not be able to capture one moment of Allah's hidden kindness and hidden generosity, let alone all of humanity trying to do this until the day of judgment. So that's the nature of this statement. SubhanAllah, I went way over my time, but you know, that's just the power. So I apologize for, I didn't want to talk too much, but that's, my words cannot do justice to this. Again, this is an experience, and that's what we're asking for when we make this dua. We are reciting this, requesting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to, and He indulge us in this experience.